with the Lord's help, a desire that we would read together from a chapter that we seem to read from quite frequently, but it is the first chapter of 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. As our brother led us in prayer, he reflected on many very powerful, meaningful, impactful life events that take place. When we go through these experiences, things that we would often overlook, that we wouldn't notice, they become deeply meaningful and very cherished. We start to notice and recognize the spiritual dimension that is being revealed to us, even in the most simple things. And life has a way of causing us to forget, causing us to move very quickly and allow those things to pass by. But these events that happen in our lives, they stir us up. They bring out a sensitivity to the importance and the value and the preciousness of life and what God is trying to teach us. They stir us up. And Peter's desire as he pens these words, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is that they would stir us up. Stir us into action. Stir us into a genuine faith where we are changed by God's grace. And stir us up to notice and to appreciate and not to rush but to recognize our Creator. And he endeavors to stir us up by way of remembrance, which is a beautiful thought, because think of the means that the world would seek to stir up, to motivate, to inspire. Our minds often go to the new thing, the cutting edge. But Peter recognizes that the things that are of value, God has revealed by his word. And we've heard it time and time again. And we just need to remember. Which is such a precious truth. The hope and the help of being stirred up to see the purpose and the meaning in life is not something that will be far away from you, that you need to run and to find and to seek. Remember. Take the time to let it settle in, because you've known these things. It's so close to you. It's even in your mouth. You could speak it. Peter speaks here of exceeding great and precious promises. That God has given unto us. that leave us with no lack in having a life, in following after godliness. It's through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, through Christ Jesus our Lord. And we stop and we meditate and we remember, what did He say? He said that in the world you will have tribulation. It will be hard. You will have pain. You will struggle. And there will be opposition. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He has declared that He is the resurrection and the life. He has invited us to take up His yoke and to learn of Him and to follow Him. He calls everyone that is weary and heavy laden because He offers rest. And He offers work. Before He ascended, He gave His disciples a work to do. He let them know how to occupy until He returned. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." The world is marketing and advertising to people who are bored. The believer should not be bored. The believer should not be idle. The believer should hear the words of Jesus and recognize that He has given us a work to do. It makes me tremble as I think of how effective the world is at grabbing my attention and holding it. And it seems that there's something not quite aligned with what God desires and what Jesus has sent His disciples and us who hear the word and are instructed to follow in it, that we should be different. We should be distinct. We have the answers before us. We have the mission and the objectives laid out. It's not unclear. I pray to God that as I reflect on these precious promises that have given me and you everything that we need, to live, to have life, to live in godliness, that by God's grace, we would align ourselves with that. We take on that yoke that He's given. And also that we would not forget the precious comfort that he states that I am with you always. I am with you in hardness and difficulty, in challenge and in death. I'm with you when you choose to let go of your will. He showed us perfectly what that looks like. It's not foreign to him. He's able to help when you make that your choice. Peter is reflecting upon a life of service, a life that has been called into a following of his Lord. And he knows what's important to share at this time. What life, what experience, what testimony are we developing? There's a hymn in my meditations this week that has spoken to me on this particular topic. Hymn 146. And there are many, many truths that are in this scripture that speak to us, that stir us up. They talk about what Peter is saying here, that there is an entrance that is ministered. In verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do live this life. We have our tasks and our responsibilities. And it is short. It will end. And then there is an eternity that awaits. And an entrance is served or ministered abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I need to remember that this is not my home. And there is something far better, far more precious that awaits each and every believer. And so the words of the hymn speak about the entrance, speak about the greatness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As the hymn writer pens these words, O joy sublime! When finally is ended the last, our hard-fought struggle with the foe, when we from exile to our home have wended, and then through yonder heavenly portals go, when we earth's dust from off our feet have shaken, earth's sweat from weary brows have wiped away, we greet him who never hath us forsaken, who often gave us courage on our way. And these words so poetically illustrate both a challenge to us to stir us up, but also a great comfort. The challenge is, as this hymn lays out scriptural concepts and teachings Does my life reflect that? And can I say, I am in a hard struggle with the foe, that I know who my enemy is, that I do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, against the devil, who desires to kill and to destroy. And for centuries, our world has painted a picture of what life consists of and what is real. And they've used the paints of the material world and of the flesh and of the things that you can see and that you can hold and that you can count, and says, this is all it is. It's the material world. But there's so much more. And that perspective of this material world is all there is caused us to lose an appreciation that we have a foe and that we are to contend, that we are to resist him, and he will flee. We don't like it when he comes to our heart's door, but often he comes in a way that is subtle and deceptive, and in a way that appeals to the things that we want, our cravings, our habits, and our tendencies. Very similarly to the algorithms that are being used to put advertisements in front of us when we spend time on the computer. He's paying attention and he's sowing his seed wherever he can. And whatever sticks, he's going to keep pressing on those buttons. But do I fight hard? Do I take up the shield of faith? Do I expect that it would be easy or that it'll just go away? No. It's a battle, and it's going to continue until the last moment on this earth. And so let us be stirred up to take the warning of the Scripture seriously and to think like Apostle Paul told the Corinthians about their repentance, that when they felt that godly sorrow and they turned those things over to the Lord, that it brought about a great desire, a vehement desire, a vengeance, a seriousness and a sobriety that said, I will not take this just sitting down. I need to be a part. I need to take on that yoke. I need to die to myself. And that's a hard struggle for this flesh. But it's the solution. It's our help and our hope. When we from exile to our home have wended, when was the last time I thought I was in exile and as a pilgrim on this earth and felt like a foreigner? Felt like I did not belong, and my soul desired a better country. When we from earth's dust from off our feet have shaken, this world has a lot of filth. I hope that we as believers, as we take Christ's call to us, that we're not thinking that we're going to leave off the filth of this world and its sin, though we will. But perhaps we would think of it in this way. When Jesus told the parable about the Good Samaritan, there were two men that passed the man that was in need. They didn't want to get their garments dirty. It was too inconvenient. They were in too much of a hurry. And they cleanly walked by. But there was a Samaritan that saw somebody in need. And he knelt down. He took the time to bind his wounds. He got a little dirty. At the end of that parable, Jesus told the lawyer that was asking him, "Go and do thou likewise." So I have to ask myself, is that earth's dust from the mire and the sin and the filth? Or is earth's dust what comes when we run towards pain? We run towards people that are hurting. How are we getting dirty? How are we stirred up? When we greet him who never hath us forsaken, who often gave us courage on our way. These are the words of comfort. Who know the battle, who know the struggle, who even reflect on this past week and see, yes, this has been my experience. Nevertheless, along the way, Jesus was there. He was providing courage. He was saying, press on. He was at our side. The presence of Jesus . It's a peace that this world could never give and can never take away. So many words from this hymn are beautiful. The verse 4 seems to be the pinnacle in some ways. It speaks of what our eyes may behold when we see our Lord. And to take the time to remember our Lord and what he means to us and what he has done for us, that is what will stir us up. Not just to emotion, not just to feeling, but to devotion and to commitment, because we see what he has done. And it touches our hearts, changes our life, if we believe and if we allow it. Oh, joy sublime, when we shall hear him calling, come in, ye blessed, when in heavenly light, before his lofty throne in reverence falling, we see his holy face with mercy bright. When we shall see his eyes that once were weeping, because of man's hard heart, his misery, and all the wounds from which his blood was dripping, that from eternal death hath set us free. Today is a day of remembrance. We come together to remember Christ's sacrifice. We come together to remember his resurrection and the freedom that he has given us. Eternity will be a reflection upon these things at all times. Now we see through faith, but then face to face. And all of the wounds from which his blood was dripping. Will be revealed and we will know and appreciate his sacrifice more and more. Oh, joy sublime, when through those courts all glowing, with other happy saints we wend our way, along the stream of life where trees are growing, as green as on that third creation day, where in earth eternal youth no one grows older, where time no longer takes its bitter toll, where no eye ever breaks, no heart grows colder, nor grief, nor pain, nor death shall plague the soul. O joy sublime! No eye can hear, perceive it. No ear can hear. No human heart can know this joy. When finally we there receive it, as into the land of promise go. On then, upon the narrow pathway striving, it is well worth the effort and the pains to hasten on and then at length arriving where far beyond our knowledge Jesus reigns. He has been given a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee will bow, and he reigns. He reigns in the hard-fought struggle with the foe. He reigns with those who are now in exile but are looking forward to a heavenly home. He reigns though we walk here upon the dust of this earth and sweat and toil. But he has come to be near to each of us. And he invites us to remember what he has done, to be stirred up, to see that great meaning. Our heart's desire is that Jesus Christ truly would reign, that we look forward to him returning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May our prayer and our hope be that which he taught us to pray. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, you reign. You reign, starting in my life, in my decisions, and then in my families, in our church, in our community. He will bring it about that he will reign across this whole earth. So may the Lord bless his word. May he stir us up into the good things that he desires and that he knows are waiting in his arms, in his love and care. Amen.